Announcements for you before we get started. And by the way, pray for Amy Rye. She was taken to the emergency room this afternoon, so keep her in prayer. Extreme pain in her side, from what I understand. We'll keep you posted. So. Okay, announcements. Let's see. Worship service, as usual, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Of course, we've been open for a while. Thanks to Sheriff Bianco, who said he would not prosecute anybody that opened, so, you know. And if they do that, it'll give me a good chance to meet John MacArthur, you know. Anyway, and we have our Spanish service on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock. Great service. I believe they're in Ephesians. Also, Tuesday mornings, our men's discipleship. We're about ready to begin another book in 2 weeks, Why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. Also, ladies are now having their Bible study again on Tuesday evenings. They're going through the Epistle to the Philippians. Ladies' prayer tomorrow morning in the teen room. Love to have you ladies come and join the ladies that come in prayer. Prayer is so important, isn't it? It really, really is. We're going to see that tonight in our text, how important prayer is. Also, Friday is our home Bible study has opened up again. Phone numbers in the bulletin, or you can go online, calvarychapelpalmdesert.com, get the phone number and get directions for the home fellowship. I believe they're starting the Revelation of Jesus Christ, so that'd be a great home fellowship book. Also, Saturday men's prayer. On the right-hand side of the bulletin, up and coming, we're going to have men's breakfast with burritos, Bibles, and the bros. And that's going to be October 3rd, 8 a.m. at Calvary Chapel, Indio. Again, you can find directions online. And the burritos will be provided by La Bonita Restaurant. They do a great job. Also, we're getting ready for the Christmas shoeboxes. Franklin Graham, Operation Christmas Child. I believe this Sunday we'll have some boxes out there so you can get a head start on getting the shoebox ministry ready to send out all over the world to needy children. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is in each one of those boxes. Also, next month, it's not in the bulletin yet, but we like to give out Thanksgiving baskets to those in need. We give a complete Thanksgiving dinner, usually a 20, 25-pound turkey, potatoes, stuffing, the whole thing. I think we even throw an apple pie in there. And so next month, a couple of weeks away, we'll have a sign-up sheet for people that you know that are in need that would like a Christmas dinner delivered to their home. They have to cook it, of course. Also, what else do we have? Friday, we have the Psalms online with Pastor Ryan and Pastor Andrew Friday nights at 6 o'clock. And that's about it for announcements tonight. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love to give out Bibles here. We just got a fresh new batch in yesterday, another case of Bibles. So everybody's got their Bible. That's a healthy church when everybody has their Bibles. And, of course, one last thing. I'm sorry. California propositions. We have lists in the back there on all of the propositions and what they mean. We'll give you the interpretation. You know, sometimes you look at them and go, yes means no, and no means yes, and it's like, what do I do here? We've got them on the back table there so you can take them home and study them. And as I mentioned on my Facebook post last week, people wondering who to vote for and what to vote for. Well, this is how you find out right here. What does God's Word say? Every issue that we're voting on, I believe, is extremely important in America today. We're in major trouble. But the good news is God has this. But I think as Christians, we need to exercise our right to vote. And I think it's Ted Cruz that mentioned only 1 in 4 Christians in America are registered to vote. I hope that's not true. And if you haven't, you need to get out and register to vote. We live in perilous times. You want to see where we're living today? Read 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're right there. Perilous time. So anyway, these are in the back on the table. And now we'll open up our Bibles. In the Old Testament, the 6th book of the OT, Joshua chapter 8. We've opened our Bibles and we need to now open our hearts. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, what a blessing it is. It just comforts my heart, Lord, to have the words of eternal life in my possession. Every yacht, every tittle, every cross T, every dotted I is given by the inspiration of God, Paul said. It is God-breathed. Your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change. And so, Lord, your word is to change us. We are not to change your word. We are to be conformed and transformed by your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray tonight in our chapter that you would encourage us in our faith, that you would give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight, especially in the area of spiritual warfare. We're going to see physical warfare tonight, but there are some incredible points that we need in our lives today to fight spiritual warfare. And so tonight, with open Bibles and open hearts, we pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit that you, the Good Shepherd, would feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Joshua 8 tonight. Always like to lay a little foundation, give a little background to where we are, because, you know, sometimes people miss a chapter, or maybe you're visiting, whatever it might be, and I like to kind of bring you up to speed on what has taken place prior to chapter 8 here tonight. And again, tonight we learn again what a difference a day makes. It is amazing what 24 hours can do as far as change. Did you ever think what happened back in March with the pandemic thing would happen? I didn't. It just totally took me by surprise. I've been on the planet a while. I'm a senior citizen now. And in my lifetime, I've never seen panic, fear, all that we're dealing with today in our country. I've never seen this before, ever. And I think part of the reason is, and I believe it's scripturally sound, is that we expelled Jesus Christ from our public schools in 1962. And we've removed him from almost every area of our government today. We are one nation under God. This nation was founded on this incredible book called the Bible, Biblical Principles. 2/3 of those that signed the Constitution were ordained ministers. They believed in God's word. If you get a chance, take a trip to Washington, D.C. and go through the rotunda and places like that. You will see scripture verses and you will see statues of men and women of faith that you won't see on television. It blew me away. I went with David Barton about 6 or 7 years ago. He is probably the greatest American Christian historian in our country today. And we were absolutely shocked at what we saw. The very, very foundation of this nation is God's word and Jesus Christ. And look what's happened. And it can happen in a short period of time. And that's what we saw in Joshua. Chapter 6, we saw a great victory. Chapter 7, we saw a defeat. And it's like, wow, what a difference a day makes, what a difference a chapter can make in God's people's lives. And so tonight we learn again what a difference a day makes. Last Wednesday night in chapter 7, Israel was dealt a terrible blow. They were shocked. They thought they had it going in to take over Ai. Small city, nothing in comparison to Jericho. We got this one. We can handle this one. You ever done that in your own personal life? I have. Lord, I got this one. I can handle this. And next thing you know, it's, Lord, help. Yeah, we need him in everything. I'm learning that more and more and more every day. I need to pray about every single thing. I need to include him in everything. I know I've taught it for years. But you know, now more than ever, I'm just totally and wholly dependent upon Jesus Christ 24/7, every moment, every second of every day. And it's incredible what happens when you include him in everything, even the little tiny things. But Israel made a terrible mistake. They took down this great fortress called Jericho. But yet last week in chapter 7, they were dealt a terrible blow as a tiny little city in comparison to Jericho by the name of Ai. They killed 36 Israelis and the next thing you know, Israel's on the run. They're just running for their lives. The reason for such a humbling defeat? There was sin in the camp. And I think that's one of the major reasons for what we're going through, what we're going through in America today. We got sin in the camp. We need a clean house. We do. I'm not going to go into details, of course. You know where we're at. God has warned Israel against taking the accursed things from Jericho. And look at the accursed things that we have made laws in America that we approve of now that God detests. And again, I'm not going to lay out a list. The accursed things, pagan things that are destroying our lives. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's all it takes is just a little bit. We've got testimony after testimony in this fellowship of people that just started with a little bit of sin. And that's what happened to me, my BC days. I can handle this one just a little bit. And all the peer pressure, all your buddies going, come on, man, you can handle it. Don't be a wimp. And look what happens. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. The next thing you know, you're consumed by whatever it may be. God called Israel to abstain from the accursed things of pagan idolatry, lest they be cursed and troubled by them. And that's exactly what happened. There was just one family in the whole tribe of 2 million Jews at that particular time that decided that they were going to hide some of these accursed things in their tent. What a picture that is. Personally, we as human beings, and Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians calls his body a tent, and sometimes we can hide accursed things in our tent. And they come in a number of different ways. Can come in the internet, can come in drugs, alcohol, you name it. And the next thing you know, we're troubled and cursed by them. They destroy. And so Israel had to find out the hard way. As a nation, and the same thing holds true with individuals today. Sometimes we individually have to find out the hard way, and God warns us in advance. They felt that conquering this little city of Ai would be easy pickings, no problem. We have to be very, very careful when we use these personal pronouns. I got this, I can handle this. Yet, Israel was struck down by Ai. As I mentioned, 36 men were killed. And the Bible tells us that the hearts of the children of Israel melted and became like water. Does that sound familiar? That is exactly what was taking place in Jericho when the Jews were marching around the walls of Jericho. The inhabitants of Jericho's hearts were melting, and they became like water because they feared the God of Israel. And now look what's going on. Israel's hearts are melting. What a shame. Israel's great leader, Joshua, was devastated. And Joshua was a great leader. For a young man, the Bible tells us that he was gifted with wisdom through the Holy Spirit as Moses had laid hands on him. Oh, how we need Joshua's today. We need to train up these young men and young women to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Joshua had no idea what was going on. He had prayed. He had been instructed by the Lord. He gave every detailed instruction to the people on what they were to do. And all of a sudden, man, they're getting whacked. And the next thing, as we saw last week, in chapter 7, Joshua's flat on his face, tearing his clothes, which is a sign of mourning for the Jew. And he fell on his face, and he threw dust on his head. And he asked, Lord, why? Why? And God told him. You ever been blindsided like that? I have over the years. Lord, why? And if we ask him why, he'll tell us. He loves you enough to tell you, this has got to go, whatever this might be. Israel had sinned. There was sin in the camp. And the very thing that God had warned them not to do, they did. You know, just because we make laws for certain things does not mean that God approves of them. If it's evil, it's evil. You can never make a man-made law where God will approve of anything that's evil. No way. And the very thing that God had warned them not to do, they did. Achan and his family. had stolen and hidden the accursed things in their tents. And how sad it is that Achan's family was affected as well. And as I mentioned last week, guys, as the head of our household, when we get caught up in sin, it affects our family in many ways. And his family was drawn in. And just as God had warned Israel, they were accursed and they were troubled, just as the Lord said. God loves you and I enough to tell us in his word those things that will destroy us. And we need to take heed. But yet, how many times have you said, or how many times have we thought, it'll be different for me? I've heard that so many times. It'll be different for me. The next thing you know, Lord help. And so Joshua dealt with the sin within. That's a godly leader. A godly leader holds on to God's word. A godly leader proclaims the word of the Lord to the people. And he deals with the sin within the camp. And what happened? The people sanctified themselves. That's what we need in America today. That's what we need in the church today. The church is part of the problem. The church is carnal in many ways. We're more into entertainment and hipster pastors and disco balls and smoke machines. This is what we need right here, the word of the Lord today, like never before. We need to take heed to what God says. We're not looking for some emotional experience. How long does that last? Man, I want the truth. And the people sanctified themselves. You know what happens when people get the truth of God's word and they repent? The term sanctified means to be set apart unto God. That's what we need today. We need to go back and be set apart unto God. We need to make America godly again. And they took away the accursed things. You've heard our testimony, Tina and I. When we got saved, I came home the day that I got saved at Calvary Chapel, West Covina, and I said, okay, Lord, show me what's got to go. And he showed me. I had stuff hanging on the walls, and I'm not going to lay out the dirty details. And I had stuff in the cupboards, and you name it. And guess what? We cleaned house that day. And there was a spirit of heaviness that was lifted from our home. There was joy there, finally. There was love and excitement like never. I've never experienced that before. It's because we were now sanctified, set apart unto the Lord. And we got rid of the junk that had to go. Achan and his family were taken out and stoned to death and burned with fire. God says what he means, and he means what he says. He warned in advance. You know what? God is still warning about the fire today. Oh, there's global warming coming, my friend. But it's not the one that Al Gore is talking about. After the harpazo of the church, the rapture of the church, all hell is literally going to break loose on this earth. Heavy-duty stuff. Jesus Christ came to save you and I from the fire. And so it was. God turned from his fierceness and his anger, and Israel is restored to fellowship with holy God. Wow. Again, what a difference a day makes. And after Israel had cleansed herself and sanctified herself, we now come to the first two verses of chapter 8. Where in verses 1 and 2, the Lord says to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Wow. What a change now. Again, what a difference just a day makes, huh? And notice what happens now when the sin is dealt with. Joshua goes from laying flat on his face, weeping, grieving over what had happened in Ai, throwing dust on his head, tearing his clothes. And now God turns from the fierceness of his anger and he tells Joshua, don't be afraid. That's the God that we serve. He's the God of all comfort, isn't he? Isn't it wonderful when things are right in our life, when we repent, when we're sanctified, back in that right relationship with him? Man, he says, fear not, be not afraid. Don't be dismayed. And that's why there's so much fear in America today. It's because many of us are out of God's will. Look what we're doing. America has aborted 64 million babies. Yeah. And we have a big list of things that have got to go. Our president had no idea how deep the swamp was when he began to drain the swamp. It's not a swamp, it's a cesspool. I don't know if it'll ever be cleaned up in our lifetime. Sometimes I think we're at the point of no return. We need a Jonah to come on the scene and proclaim God's judgment and turn around. That is the shortest sermon I can find in the Bible. 40 days in Nineveh will be destroyed. He turns around and walks away, and guess what? Everybody repents in the whole town. All of Nineveh. Even sackcloth and ashes on the animals. And the king, he got down on his face. It could happen, but with what we see prophetically, with what we see going on in the Middle East, or what we see falling into place historically and prophetically, it's like, I really believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is coming soon, that the trump of God is going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those of us who are alive be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's why 2 weeks ago I put the shofar back up here on the communion table. The trump of God's going to blow. Are you ready? Man, what a glorious day it's going to be. Why do I feel that way? Because in the newspaper, Benjamin Netanyahu is talking about publicly rebuilding the third temple. Hello? I had sheep bumps just thinking about it. Yeah, that's how close we are. And all of the things that we see going on, Israel surrounded by her enemies and all. And we see a 1 million man army in China to the north of them. And all of these things falling right into place. All of the robes are measured for the priests. I got that right out of the Israeli newspaper. The Kohanan family, who is a Cohen family, who are the Levites, they've already been measured for their robes. And these guys aren't youngsters. And as I always say, if you're ready for the return of the Lord, don't buy green bananas, because we're getting pretty close. And so here we see what happens when sin is dealt with in the camp and God's commands are obeyed. Jesus made it simple, didn't he? We talked about this a couple weeks ago on Sunday. Greatest command of all. Love the Lord God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, when you do this, you fulfill all the commandments. What's missing today? Love. People are shredding one another. People are angry and bitter, devouring one another on the news, in the newspaper, everywhere. Look at what's going on. Where's love? We need to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus took it a step further, love our enemy. And when God's commands are obeyed, just like we see in verse 1, fear disappears. No one is dismayed. We see it with the children of Israel. And God delivers the enemy right into their hands. Isn't that amazing? Look what he says. I have given you, the end of verse 1, given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. God told them in advance what was going to take place, just like he did with Jericho. And what did God do? He did exactly what he told the Israelites he was going to do when they marched around Jericho once a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day, and the walls came a-tumbling down. They could really see the hand of God, couldn't they? Could you imagine if you were with those people, a soldier, and Joshua commands you to just march around the walls, and you see all these valiant warriors up on the wall, 25 feet high with their swords and shields, and what would you be thinking? But you know what? When God commands us to do something, you put your faith and trust in the Lord. With God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. And when we put our faith and trust in the Lord, he gives us victory. And here he tells them even in advance what he's going to do at Ai. Sometimes our most important lessons can be learned from failures and defeat. I look at my own personal life, and a lot of the lessons I've learned that have really resonated within my heart and within my walk have been the times I failed. Yeah, the times I've been defeated. Sometimes we have to learn lessons the hard way, don't we? We're never You know, we're wiser and better prepared the second time around often. Oftentimes things I teach to my kids and my grandkids are in areas of my life that I failed. They think, oh, grandpa or dad's got this great wisdom. Where'd you get that? From being a knucklehead and failing. And then seeing what God tells me to do, what God tells them to do. We need wisdom today like never before from God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need spiritual discernment like never before. And we see here, when we deal with our sin, we refocus on the Lord. He is quick to forgive us, and He gives us victory. Maybe you're struggling here tonight. Maybe you're going through a battle. Well, this message is for you. Get this right, and this takes care of itself. Get the vertical taking place, and the horizontal falls right into place. It's amazing how that works. Notice also this time in verse 2, where it says, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Now, God allows Israel to take the spoils. He told them not to before. And now He allows them to take the plunder and the livestock, the booty. Why? Because there were no accursed things here. God warned them the first time not to take the accursed things, and they did. This time, it's safe for them to go into Ai and take the livestock and all these other things they need because they are not accursed things in the eyes of the Lord. There were no accursed things to infect them or curse them or to trouble them. And so God allows them to take the plunder. It actually provided the army and the nation with necessary food and flocks and herds and weapons that were needed to sustain themselves in wartime. So God is going to allow them to use these things. And as I'm looking at the text this week, I'm thinking, you know, if Achan had only waited. Sometimes we get ahead of God. And he didn't wait on God. He didn't obey God. And look what happened. If he had only waited, he would not have lost his life. And sometimes we make decisions that could cost us our lives. We have to be careful. Verse 3. So Joshua arose, and all the people of war, to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us, as at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say they're fleeing before us, as at the first. Remember the first time they got run off and 36 guys got killed? The guys in Ai think, yeah, they're running again. They're fleeing before us just like they did the first time. Therefore, we will flee before them. Look at verse 7. Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do. See, I have commanded you. I love this Joshua guy. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't water down the message. He gives them God's word straight up. This is what the Lord says, and this is what the Lord is going to do. It's quite interesting the way that the Lord delivers Ai into Israel's hands. He gives them instructions here on what to do and what is going to take place. And it's going to happen through an ambush. Totally different from the way that the Israelites approached Ai the first time. This way, it's done God's way. And so Joshua instructs them. He says, at night, imagine that, 30,000 men at night moving around behind the city. He's going to send 30,000 men of valor out in the dark behind the city. Then Joshua will take some of the people and approach the city from the other side, from the front. And when Ai sees them, they flee. And Joshua flees, and all the men will be drawn out of the city. You see, Joshua and the people were there just to draw the people out of Ai, to empty the city. And they will chase Joshua down, leaving the city without protection. What an incredible plan God has here. And it's then that the 30,000 mighty men of valor that were hidden behind the city are going to rise up. They're going to set an ambush. They're going to seize the city. They're going to set it on fire as the Lord their God delivers the city into their hand. God tells them exactly what's going to take place in advance. And the cool thing about it, they're not going to lose one life this time. And they will all do what is commanded of them of the Lord. You know what? When that happens, there's victory, isn't there? But what a plan. What a great plan. Verse 9. Joshua therefore set them out. He now obeys what God says, and he sets them out. And they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Beth-El and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai, and all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai, and so he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Beth-El and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north side of the city and its rear guard on the west side of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Now it happened, when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. Isn't it amazing the way God works? I love it. And Joshua and all Israel made it as if they were beaten before them. And they fled by the way of the wilderness. I wonder if any of them were laughing. Look at here they come. No. And so all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Beth-El who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. Whoa. Notice. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand towards the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. When the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. They were ambushed. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. All of a sudden, Joshua and his guys turn around, and they got them all surrounded. Now, when Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them, so they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. Amazing. Again, this time Israel had no casualties. Having purged themselves from defilement, That's the first thing. In order to go into battle, we need to get right with the Lord. Be it our own personal battles, be it a national battle, whatever it might be, it is so important to take an inventory of our lives. Years ago, someone had mentioned in the sermon that the Lord's army travels on its knees. We need to be men and women of prayer. Some of the greatest battles are won on the knees of God's people. I call it sending up knee mail. We need more knee mail today. We need to talk with God. He's there. He's waiting. And when we purge ourselves, and He empowers us through the power of the Holy Spirit, victory is at hand, but we've got to get the junk out. And that's what happened with Israel. They had to get the leaven out. They had to purge Achan and his family before God would empower them and give them victory. And plus, they had to obey God's word and do it the way God had told them. And look what happened. They just totally destroyed them. And so having sanctified themselves before the Lord, they were once again victorious in battle. So important, isn't it? That we have this right so that God can take care of our battles. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. The term is dunamis in the original language. That's where we get the term dynamite from. God wants to empower us with dunamis power through the power of the Holy Spirit. And how sad it is that you got to wait till you get old like I do, like I am, to rely on the strength of the Lord. In my younger days, it was like, yeah, I know what the Bible says, and we got this, Lord, you and I. And an amazing thing happens. The older you get, the more you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's so important. And so they're now, again, victorious in battle. Today, the same holds true, doesn't it? I love the physical example of spiritual truths that we find in the Old Testament. Powerful, practical, pertinent lessons that you and I can learn from the Old Testament accounts. And it breaks my heart when mega church pastors today say, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. Are you kidding me? I love the Old Testament. Every yod, every tittle, every cross T, every dotted I is given by the inspiration of God. We need it today. Victory in the Christian life is not without conflict. We are on a battlefield. And we're recognizing that more and more in America, aren't we? I talk to Ryan all the time in my office. We kind of hang out and talk. And you know what? Before all this stuff happened in America, I was just kind of soft. It was like ministry was pretty easy at the time. And now the spiritual battle has increased. It's become so intense that I just sense this heaviness constantly, this spiritual warfare. 2 weeks ago, a lady walked in the office and said, I'm God. She started speaking in some weird language, demon-possessed. I said, really, God in the flesh? Number one, He's not a female. Number two, show me your nail prints. All of a sudden, this language starts again. It was crazy. We've never had that happen before. And there's stuff just coming from all directions. That's why it is so important to keep our lives pure, to stay pure before the Lord, to purge ourselves of sin and defilement. Why? Because we are not on a playground. We're on a battlefield today. We need to have the full armor of God on, every single piece. Every piece is important. Because the enemy will attack you when you least expect it. In Vietnam, we usually got hit when we were comfortable. Got our steel pots off, flak jacket off, kicking back, smoking cigarettes. Yeah, I used to smoke. It was the only thing that I was old enough to do when I was in Vietnam. They took my liquor card and they crossed it all. I couldn't even have a beer. Wasn't old enough, but I could smoke a cigarette, and I'm not boasting about that. But whenever we were lax, whenever they could catch us off guard is when they hit. We used to sleep with everything on. Steel pot, flak jacket, everything, the whole thing. You know what? 24/7 is really, really important for us to have the full armor of God on. We need to have it on all the time. Even in my dreams, I ask God to guard my heart, guard my mind. Because you know what happens oftentimes even in dreams? You have to guard your heart and mind and pray and ask God to, you know, to keep you pure and holy. And today as well, this battle is going on like never before, and it's going to get more intense. I really believe that with all of my heart, because Jesus said that there would be birth pains, there would be contractions. And every contraction, as you ladies know, that have given birth is closer and more intense. And I believe the contractions have started in the world today. But here we see it's the presence and the power and the protection of God in the midst of conflict that is important. He is our commander-in-chief. That's so important. We too must purge and purify and sanctify ourselves in order to be victorious. Because look around, we all know those that have been casualties in the body of Christ. It's sad. Some of the things that are happening. When we deal with the sin in our lives, forgiveness and victory lie ahead, just like we see with Israel here. Yeah. God wants us to be victorious, not to be victims. And no matter how difficult a setback of sin might be, don't give up. Come back. The Lord always bids us to come back. Great songs tonight, Chuck. He was there all the time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's so important, isn't it? I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Some great songs. And those are not just to entertain us. We're singing those songs to the Lord. And they're reminders for you and I. There's no turning back. No matter how difficult that setback of sin is, and like I said earlier, we can always learn even from our setbacks, even from our defeats at times. You can always get on your knees. Get down on your knees. Deal with your sin. There's no need to stay defeated, discouraged, or disheartened. God is there. He wants to cleanse you and wash you. He wants to refill you and go from being a victim to being a victor, because the battle belongs to the Lord. And that's one of the lessons we need to take from this study tonight. The battle belongs to Him. We have to rely on Him. Verse 24. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, where they pursued them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand, with which he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of the city of Israel. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. You see what they're doing now? They're obeying God at his word. They're doing what he told them to do. That didn't happen the first time that they went into Ai. They had sin in the camp. But you see what happens now? Victory. And so Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Heavy stuff. They cleaned house. God told them, completely wipe out Ai. You remember what happened to King Saul? When God told Saul to wipe out all of the Amalekites, and he didn't. And all of a sudden Samuel the prophet says, what's that I hear? The bleating of the sheep. And guess what? There were Amalekites that Saul had spared, and he spared the king. You know what happened? eventually the Amalekites would come full circle and they would take Saul out. Yeah. Same holds true today. If we don't remove the things in our lives that God tells us to get rid of, they'll come full circle and they'll take us down. God says what he means and means what he says. And it's too late in the race. We're getting so close to the finish line. It's no time to be toying with sin as a believer. And as we all know, God's greatest blessings come when we're walking close to him. In obedience to the Lord, Israel utterly destroyed Ai. And Joshua did not withdraw his hand holding the spear until all the inhabitants of Ai were dead. Same thing happened to Moses. Remember, Moses lifted up his hands while the Israelites were in battle? And when he got tired and his hands came down, who was it? Hur and Joshua, I think it was, that held his arms up. And when they held his arms up, they began to be victorious again. And here we see that he did what God told him to do, held up the spear until all of the inhabitants of Ai were dead. People say, wow, how could they go in and wipe out everybody, men and women, and destroy the whole city? Well, guess what? Ai would have done the same thing to Israel if they got the chance. They would have taken them out. They would have completely destroyed them. And because they were a pagan country filled with all sorts of wickedness and evil and demonic spirits and pagan worship and all that stuff, it had to be totally wiped out. Because God is giving Israel the promised land, and the promised land had to be purged of all these demonic things. And so they did all that the Lord commanded Joshua. What a leader. He didn't move to the right or to the left. Straight ahead in obedience to God's word. We need leaders like Joshua today. And Ai was a heap forever. When we visited Israel, we went out down near the area of Jericho. And there's no sign of Ai. It's gone, wiped out. Ai was a heap forever, it says. They hung the king on a tree. Later they cut the corpse down and buried him in a heap of stones. Also in obedience to God, it says Joshua builds an altar to the Lord at Mount Ebal. Look at verse 30. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. He gave God praise, gave God thanks, going to offer up sacrifices, celebrate the victory that the Lord gave them. Oftentimes, when I read about altars, do you have a place in your house where you meet with God? I do. It's not an altar, literally, but it's a place where I go to meet with God. It's a quiet place. Nothing to distract me. We all need a place to go to meet with God at an altar, if you would. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. They worshiped the Lord. They give thanks to the Lord. They offered up sacrifices for their sins and all. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses which he had written. Ten Commandments. I believe the Ten Commandments are still important today. Without Jesus Christ, you can't get past the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, and him alone. And so even to get to obey the first commandment, the Bible says he who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. You know what? If Jesus Christ isn't your Lord and Savior, if you're not born again, you got other gods seated on the throne of your heart that have got to go. And so there he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. You see how important the Word of God was then? And it's equally as important today. God's Word, God's Word, God's Word. I don't think I've ever preached a message over the years where I haven't encouraged God's people, get into the Word, get into the Word, get into the Word, study the Bible. Don't come here and get spoon-fed. Go home and feed yourself. Well, I don't understand it all. You know what I was taught early on by Raul Ries? When you're a brand new baby Christian, of course, I didn't know the difference between an apostle and an epistle. But I went home the first day I got saved, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in one sitting. Because Raul said, read it until something speaks to you. You don't have to do an in-depth Bible study on every verse. You're a brand new baby Christian. And the gold is still on the outside of your Bible, and the pages are stuck together, and get into the Word. Wear that Bible out. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a person whose life is not. We need the Word of God like never before. We've got too much fake news and lies and slander and stuff going on in America today. We need to know the truth of the Holy Scriptures. And so here we see, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priests. Imagine that. There they are, all of the leaders in reverence to holy God and His Word, are standing near the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant, of course, is a jar of manna, a picture of Jesus Christ, the manna that came down from heaven. Also, there was Aaron's rod that budded, which is a picture of the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ. And there were also the two tablets of the law of Moses. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. And here they are on both sides, the priests, the judges, the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant, the stranger, as well as he who was born among them. Isn't it wonderful when strangers come into the body of Christ? A lot of us were pretty strange in our BC days. But look what God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit in the presence of God does. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them Mount Ebal. They were right in this valley. Mount Ebal's on one side, Gerizim's on the other. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law. He's talking about the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. There are 613 laws in the five books of Moses, and so I'm going to read them all to you tonight. Just kidding. Yeah, 613 laws. But again, as earlier on in the message, as Jesus said, you want to fulfill the law? Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you love God and love your neighbor and even your enemies, just even with the Ten Commandments, you can fulfill the Ten Commandments by loving God and loving your neighbor. You're not going to murder. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to do all these other things. That's what's missing today. Love. Notice, and there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. That's why we go through all of God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precepts, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the maps in the back. When we hit the maps, we start all over again. Because every word of God is important, not only for the men and the women, but for the little ones. Our kids today need the Word of God. Many of us, our greatest regret is not knowing Jesus Christ when we were kids. I was a knucklehead for 33 years before God got my attention. Oh yeah, there were those times. Oh Lord, if you get me out of this one. We all done that. Oh, get me out of this one, Lord, and I'll go to church. And I never kept my part of that promise. But the day that he saw my heart was sincere, when I'm flat out on my bedroom floor, strung out and on the verge of suicide, he heard my prayer and he changed my life. He knew when I was ready. And it's so important, isn't it? And there was not a word that all of Moses commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel. It is such a pleasure and such a joy to be able just to read God's word to the people. I think of Nehemiah. Remember, Israel was taken captive by the Babylonians. They had no synagogue. They had no scriptures. They had nothing for 70 years. Imagine that. Nothing. And when Ezra the priest came out and opened up the scriptures from morning to midday, a six-hour sermon, he sat and they stood. That's the way it was in those days. And the Bible says that the people wept over the word of God. And again, one of the things God has shown me and what's going on in America right now, there's great danger for the church. And there are places right now in America, one of them, Massachusetts, trying to ban the Bible. And we have friends who are Canadian pastors. They're trying to ban the Bible in Canada. What would it be like for you if you could not have your Bible? This is my greatest earthly treasure. Yeah, the Word of God. We need it like never before. This brings us comfort. It cleanses us. It purifies us. The washing of the Word, the renewing of our mind, it strengthens our faith. It empowers us. It gives us courage. It gives us all that pertains to life and godliness. We need God's Word like never before. And my prayer is that the church in America would wake up. It's not all about mega buildings. It's not all about mega congregations. It's all about mega love and mega grace and mega mercy, no matter what size the congregation is. We need to get back to our first love. Even as Jesus tells the church in Revelation, go therefore and do your first works. Go back and return to your first love. What a challenge for us here tonight. Victory comes when we're sanctified, when we're set apart, when we purge our lives and get the junk out, when we love God's word and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in the newness of life. We're victorious, aren't we? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for our brother Joshua. What an example, what a living example of a godly leader. Thank you, Lord, for these physical examples that we see from the Old Testament on what happens when we allow sin to creep in. And it does it so subtly. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you, through your word, through your spirit, would show us those areas in our lives that need to be purged and cleansed and purified. And that we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit like never before, Lord. Because our sin can grieve and even quench the person of the Holy Spirit. And so help us, Lord, to be victorious. Help us, Lord, to continually have the full armor of God on. Help us, Lord, to spend more time on our knees and in your word. And Lord, we are just so close to the finish line. Help us, Lord, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit like never before. We pray for our nation, pray for all of our leaders, our president, both sides of the aisle. We pray for even our leaders on a local level. God, open their eyes, save them, Lord, those that don't know you. And I pray, Lord, that you would make America godly again. Only you can do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.